Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from our Lord and Savior and from our Heavenly Father. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is not only our best role model, but he's also our Savior God, dear fellow redeemed. Each year in the professional sporting world, there are inductions in the Hall of Fame of different sports, judging them on the basis of their exceptional performance. Former players are enshrined in this place of honor. Over the years, it has been hoped by parents that such standout performers could serve as good role models for their children. Professional athletes have had this distinction because sports is one of those areas of life that children delight to watch and follow and aspire to. Some, but not all, the Hall of Famers have proven to be good role models. For example, Harmon Killebrew, one of my heroes. He belonged to the Minnesota Twins. He was a great home run hitter. But aside from that, he was a pretty decent guy that people could look up to. Whereas while Babe Ruth was an even greater home run hitter and ball player, his life was far from exemplary. You want to look to Babe Ruth to follow his example of the way to live. The same can also be said of present-day standout athletes who like to someday be able to go into the Hall of Fame. It's disappointing whenever we hear news reports that baseball players or football players have been found guilty of unlawful behavior or don't play by the rules. They are not good role models. The role models we look up to are not limited to the sporting world. For us as Christians, the ultimate role model is Jesus, who lived a perfect life of love and righteousness. And besides Jesus, we also have standout believers in Bible times to emulate. Hebrews 11, from which our sermon text is drawn, has been referred to as the Hall of Faith. Scanning over this list of believers, we find Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and more. In the case of each of these believers, the Holy Spirit enabled them to live by faith. This was their mark of distinction that we are to take note of and seek to imitate with the help and blessing of God. Before getting into the list of the Hall of Faith and Hall of Faith inductees, we need a definition of what faith is. We find that definition in the first verse of our text, where it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." By the working of the Holy Spirit, we are blessed with a confident faith and trust in God's word of truth and his promises. Even though we haven't seen with our eyes what God tells us in the Bible about things that happened in the past or what things will happen in the future, even into eternity, we accept it all as true. Everything in Scripture that you read is the absolute truth of God, without exception. Concerning God's promises of the future, such as our place in heaven, we possess a sure and certain hope that this will be our future reality. We possess this conviction because God saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has given us faith to accept and put our trust in His work of salvation. This is what the Bible calls faith. Then in verse 3 of our text, an example of a past event is recorded in the Bible. It's given, which we accept by faith. We read there, "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible." No human was present at the beginning of time to be an eyewitness of how things came into being at that beginning of time. God was the only one who was there to begin with. And He tells us how He made the world out of nothing, by His almighty word, in a space of 6 normal 24-hour days. Not long periods of time, 6 normal 24-hour days. He didn't need any longer time than that. In fact, He could have done it all just like that, but He did it in 6 days. We have no physical proof of this. All we have is God's word for it. And so, with the blessing of God, we accept this testimony as true. Contrary-wise, we reject the word of man that the world came into being all by itself through evolutionary processes, by dumb luck and chance happenings over millions and billions of years, give or take a billion or so. Why do we reject this? It's because man has no reliable evidence for this, and because he wasn't there to witness it. And most important of all, God's word trumps it. Trumps man's speculative, nonsensical guesses. It's nonsense. I'll give you an example. They would say that life came out of non-life. Absolutely absurd. Or that you descended from monkeys. The kids might act like monkeys once in a while, but they didn't descend from monkeys. Now, for examples of faith from the Hall of Faith, our text cites Abraham and Sarah. And it's especially noteworthy that Abraham was singled out here because Scripture refers to him as the spiritual father of all believers. And the reason why Scripture identifies Abraham as such is because of his exemplary faith that he exhibited time and time again in his life. Many of those instances, here we got one of those instances of his faith when God instructed Abraham to take his family and go to a far distant land. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what it would be like. All Abraham had was God's command to go where the Lord would lead, and God promised that he would be with them and bless them. And so, living by faith and not by sight, Abraham obeyed the Lord. Needless to say, his faith was not put to shame, for God did not disappoint him. The land which the Lord took Abraham and his family to was a grand place. Scripture describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it was very fertile and productive land. In the Holy Word of God, the Lord gives us direction and instruction as to where and how He would have us go in life. Like Abraham, it's important for us to put our faith in God that He knows what is best for us, and that He'll be faithful in blessing us according to His good will and gracious purpose. And if and whenever we don't obey and listen to God and His directions, we often end up learning the hard way. That's not the way to go. Listen to Him. Follow His word. May God have mercy upon us and forgive us for those times we neglected to follow His words simply because we lacked faith. Faith in the Lord. Another important matter that required both Abraham and Sarah to have faith was the promise that the Lord would bless them with a son. It is this son that God tied up a number of very special promises that would have a tremendous impact on Abraham and his descendants and people of every race and nation throughout every generation of time all over the world. The situation this couple was faced with here, which required faith in God's power and His faithfulness, is the fact that they were both up in years. Abraham was far removed from the prime of life. He was 99 years old. Our scripture text describes Abraham's lack of physical potency of fathering a child by saying of him, he was as good as dead. Our scripture text describes Abraham in this way to remind us, it wasn't Abraham doing, it was the Lord's doing. In regard to Sarah's ability to conceive a child, the Bible tells us she was past the age. Sarah had gone through menopause, when women cannot naturally and biologically conceive children. With all this against them, how could this elderly couple expect to have a son? All that they had was God's word for it. Now, before we speak of faith God worked in their hearts, we should mention that both Abraham and Sarah had their questions. They had their doubts about how this could work. They even tried to help God out by finding some other way to have a son. You can read about it. It was not a very good way to go about it. These shortcomings remind us that they did not always possess an unquestioning faith. Just as we in various situations and times and circumstances do not always trust God and His word as we ought. But God did finally bless both Abraham and Sarah with faith that the Lord would supernaturally have the ability and faithfulness to bless them with a son. With Abraham fathering and Sarah conceiving the child in her womb. Even though there were no lab tests to prove this would work, or any kind of medical manipulation to circumvent the biological process, the indispensable factors in favor of this extraordinary conception and birth taking place was God's power and his faithfulness. So Abraham and Sarah believed God that he could do it and make it possible. Once again, Abraham and Sarah's faith in God was not put to shame because God did not disappoint them. Just as he promised, God miraculously made it possible for Abraham and Sarah to have a baby boy named Isaac. Not unlike with Abraham and Sarah, God has made promises to us in his sure and certain word. Upon first hearing various of his promises to us, humanly speaking, the accomplishing of those promises sound impossible. How about the promise that the Lord made concerning Judgment Day? On Judgment Day, he is going to gather together the dust of our bodily remains. He's going to bring it together and reconstitute it into a perfect, glorified body. Amazing. Unthinkable. How can that happen? It's against nature. It's against physics. But God, who made Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, well, he can do it. And he's not subject to nature. He possesses almighty power to resurrect our lifeless remains. We have no scientific proof for this. All we have is God's true word of promise and power to accomplish it. Also, since Jesus rose from the dead in glory, we're assured that we too will be raised from the dead in glorified and a perfected form. Now, we weren't there to witness Jesus' resurrection, but God has given us the faith to believe in the testimony, the eyewitness testimony of those who did see the risen Lord Jesus in the flesh. Read in the book of Corinthians and the Gospels of how many eyewitness accounts there are of believers seeing Jesus alive to confirm and strengthen our faith. He is alive. You know, Jesus' resurrection is very critical. What does it prove to you? What does Jesus' resurrection prove to you? It proves to you that he's the Lord. Only the Lord could raise himself back to life. It proves to you that as the Lord, he paid for your sins. He redeemed you to give you eternal life in heaven. And like I said before, because Scripture says, because Jesus rose from the dead in glory, we're going to be raised from the dead in glory on the very last day. How do you know this? God's Word tells us. His Word of truth tells us this. And we can believe it without any question. And as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived out their days in Canaan, their life was lived by faith and not by sight. They lived by faith in the Lord and his promises. And there were some truly wonderful promises that God made, which their descendants would experience and benefit from. Among the promises was the Lord's sure word that their descendants would grow in numbers to be a great nation. And God gave Abraham an idea of how many people would descend from him when he said, well, now, look at the heavens. Count the stars, which are innumerable, so will your descendants be. They'd all come from Abraham. Most important promise of God was the coming of the Savior from the people of Israel. And because of him, there would be countless children of God the world over. Through every generation of time, so many you can't count them. Just like the stars. Here is where faith comes in when it comes to all the promises that God made to the patriarchs, that he fulfilled. As our text declares, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Those patriarchs never saw the fulfillment of those wonderful promises that God made to him and his descendants, but they believed it. And Scripture showed that it was fulfilled, just as God has promised. Once again, the definition for faith from Scripture. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As you and I know, the patriarchs' faith in God keeping these promises were not misplaced. Because all the different promises is revealed, Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, every single one of them were fulfilled. This serves to strengthen and fortify our faith that when you read the Bible, you have the absolute truth of God. And when God promises you something, he's going to keep his promise without fail. In regard to having faith in what God promises about Jesus, we can say that we're in the same boat like the patriarchs. Even though we never saw the day of Jesus coming, carrying out his ministry, performing miracles to show he's true God, or behold him suffering and dying on the cross and rising again from the dead, still, like the patriarchs, we accept all this by faith. We can also add to this that, like the patriarchs, that we had not seen the judgment day and the resurrection of all the dead, the separation of believers from unbelievers, and transporting us into that new heavenly earth. Never saw it, no proof of it, but we know it's going to happen by faith. Still, while our eyes have not seen this as yet, nevertheless, we know by faith that this will indeed take place. How did all this impact the lives of the patriarchs? How does all this impact our lives as Christians? In regard to the patriarchs, our text reveals the following. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And again we read, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Living by faith, the patriarchs regard themselves as strangers in a foreign land, that they were on a pilgrimage, heading for a better land. Not the promised land of Canaan, the promised land of heaven. The same is also true of us as children of God and heirs of heaven through our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank and praise be to God for blessing us with faith so that we do not have the need to see with our eyes, handle with our hands before we believe in the promises of God. Being blessed with faith, we have the sure and certain hope that the unseen world of heaven is our final destination and that Jesus had made this our future in eternity. Sure and certain. Are you going to go to heaven? I sure hope you say, well, I hope so. No, I know so. By faith in Jesus our Savior. May God ever help us to live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.